Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to our Learning at Share. So this is the Siyum of the year for Share, our final shiur of Tav Shin Pei. Hodu Hashem Ki Tov Ki Li Olam Chasdo. I thank you all, Me'a Makei Halev, for enriching my life with allowing me to present this shiur, with attending the shiur, with zooming into the shiur, with your enthusiasm and your dedication, if you can't make it in person, listening online after. I don't know if it's true for you, but the learning that we share here is so fundamental. It's my most important learning, and it's really changed my life and my relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I hope you feel the same, and I hope that in the new year, Be'ezras Hashem, we can reach greater heights, hopefully with the Bias Golat Tzadak. This year, as always, is dedicated as an Aliyah Neshama for Miriam Fron, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah HaShalom, may her Neshama have a continuous Aliyah and the merit of the Torah learning we share. I thought that it was appropriate on the Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom HaDin, to share an insight of Rav Soloveitchik, and he has a very unique pshat into, we say, that the Sefer HaChaim, the Sefer HaMaves, Psuchin Lafanav, the book of life and the book of death is open before God on the day of judgment. And generally we take that to mean that there's two books and we all daven to get into the Sefer HaChaim, the book of life. And nobody, of course, until 120 after Richos Yamim and Shanim wants to be in the Sefer HaMavis. But he has a very unique pshat. This is brought down in the Machzor Masoros HaRav by the commentary to Unisana Tokef. And Soloveitchik says a different way. Sefer HaChayim means the book of the living, the people on earth, is open for judgment before him. Sefer HaMaves, the book of those neshamos that have already passed to the Olam HaEmes, is also open before him. And in fact, those who have already passed on to their eternal rest are rejudged every year on Rosh Hashanah. What are they judged on? The merits and the deeds of their progeny in this world. What are people doing for their neshama in this world? You could all go look this up. It's brought down by the Unisana Tokef, commentary of Rav Soloveitchik and his Machzorim. I'm not making it up. The dead, the maves, those who have passed on, are judged based on what is happening down here. What's their legacy down here? And that's how they're judged anew every year. And I think that it's a tremendous testimony to the family, the Frum family, and their commitment to the Aliyah Neshama of their precious mother, their commitment to Torah, week in, week out, live, teleconference, Zoom, bad weather, off season, in season, 8 people at shiur, 26 people tonight, a couple weeks ago it was 40, whatever it is. The Aliyah Neshama for their mother should bring tremendous chusim, because there the Sefer HaChaim and the Sefer HaMavis is Psuch in the front of. Amir Frontaka has a lot of merits in the schus of her family's commitment to this shiur. So we give them a bracha for Arichus Yamim and Shanim to continue their Avodas HaKodesh. I am not going into the Sefer tonight. I posted on the chat that we have a special shiur tonight. I usually almost always stick with the Sefer, but I thought that would be very appropriate since we are about 48 hours away, a little bit less, from Yom HaDin to end our learning at Share of Tav Shin Pei with a special shiur dedicated to Inyani Diyoma, the topic of the day. So I listened to a shiur much earlier this morning on my fast talk, much earlier this morning, and I'm not going to be surprised. I listened to a shiur by Rabbi Zev Leff much earlier this morning, and I'm going to share with you, I actually listened to it twice throughout the day, and then I typed out my own notes, here they are, and I'm going to share with you with some additional insights of my own, and some explanation, etc. This year is based on teaching of Rabbi Leff from Moshe Matityahu a number of years ago, and I hope that it will add some impact and inspiration to our observation of these days. So Rabbi Zev Leff began by quoting a Gemara, and the Gemara Masachas Rosh Hashanah tells us as follows. On Pesach, we are judged on grain. On Pesach, we're judged on grain. He didn't give the Amud or the Daf, so no, I did not look it up. On Pesach, we are judged on grain, and therefore we bring the Omer offering. The Omer HaTanufa, the Omer of waving, is a barley offering. Since we are judged on grain, so the Ribbono Shel Olam says, bring some grain to me. You bring some grain to me, I'll bless the rest of your grain. So Pesach, the Korban Omer, is a grain offering. Barley is a kind of grain. And we bring it on Pesach. And Hashem says, you bring me some grain, I will bless the rest of your grain. On Shavuos, we bring the shtei halachim. What is the shtei halachim made of? It's made of wheat. Very famous var. We go from a barley offering to a wheat offering because we go from slavery on Pesach to freedom of Torah. Barley is machal behema. Wheat is machal adam. And so we show we are elevated through the transition from a barley offering to a wheat offering. That's not what Rabbi Lef said. That's just a side or which I'm sure you've heard. So on Shavuos, we are judged on fruit. So we bring shtei halachim made of wheat. So you're probably wondering, what do the shtei halachim, the two loaves made of wheat, have to do with fruit? So what do they have to do with fruit? Someone just asked me if I'm recording this. The answer is yes. So what does it have to do with fruit? So he quoted a famous, I'm sure you have heard, Chazal say, according to some opinions of Chazal, the Eitz Hada'as, the fruit of the tree, the pre-Eitz Hada'as, the fruit of the tree of knowledge, that Adam and Isha Ephraim was wheat. So wheat is associated with fruit. Rabbi Lef said, interestingly, B'Yamos HaMashiach, wheat will grow in its developed form on trees, and you'll just be able to take the wheat and eat it. Okay? So on Pesach, we're judged on grain, so we bring barley. Hashem says, bring me some of your grain, I'll bless the rest of your grain. On Shavuos, we are judged on fruit. So Hashem said, bring me a representation of your fruit. That is a representation of wheat, since wheat, according to some opinions, was the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good or bad. Furthermore, B'Yamos HaMashiach, wheat will grow on the tree in its finished form. So we bring wheat, and Hashem says, I'll judge the rest. On Sukkos, the third of the Shalosh Regalim, which are coming up to, don't worry, I'm going to Rosh Hashanah. On Sukkos, why do we pour water on the altar? Ask Rabbi Lef, why do we have the Nisuch HaMayim? We have libation offering, it's such a Simchas Beis HaShoeva. There was no Simcha like the drawing of water, because on Sukkos, we daven for rain. On Sukkos, we are judged for water. So Hashem says, following the pattern, bring me some water and I will bless thee. Rest of your water, right? Makes sense? Pesach, judged for grain, bring me some barley, I'll bless the rest of your grain. Shavuos, we're judged for fruit, bring me a representation of fruit, in this case, the shtei halachim, the two loaves of bread, I'll bless the rest of your fruit. Sukkos, you daven for rain, we're judged for rain, so bring me some of your water, and I'll bless the rest of your water. So following this line of reasoning, said Rabbi Lef, on Rosh Hashanah, we're judged for life. So what should we bring on Rosh Hashanah? A life. You bring me one person's life, this is what he said. I'll judge the rest of you for good. Now, of course, don't panic. We don't do that. And everybody knows that we don't do that. But technically, that's the pattern that should happen. If we're judged for barley, bring me for grain, bring me some grain, I'll bless the rest. Judge for fruit, bring me some fruit, I'll bless the rest. Judge for water, bring me some water, I'll bless the rest. We're being judged for life. We began this year by noting that the Sefer HaChaim and the Sefer HaMah, this is Psuchim Lefanav. And everybody at Me'vesum Shana wants to be in the Sefer HaChaim of life, of bracha, of gezint, of parnasa, of health, simcha, menuchas, nefesh, nachas, mibaner. Okay, sorry. Whoops, don't throw your computer, Michal. So we're judged for life. So what should we bring? A life. Hashem should say, bring me a life. I'll judge the rest of your lives. Or everyone should bring me an arm and I'll judge the rest of you. Or a toe. So obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam does not do that. So what do we bring instead? A korban. A sacrifice. In his mercy, God accepts a korban. Instead of us, bring me a korban which represents your life. And I will bless the rest of you for life. What is the korban of Rosh Hashanah? So what's the korban of Rosh Hashanah? The korban of Rosh Hashanah, he gave a couple of answers before he got to his main answer. The korban of Rosh Hashanah, first of all, said Rabbi Lef, is Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. When we go through the three sections in our prayers, Malchios, kingship, Zichronos, remembrances, Shofros, the passage that deals with the psukim from Tanakh of the blowing of the shofar, we are totally subjugating ourselves to God. We are completely accepting all Malchus Shemayim, the yoke of heaven upon ourselves. And when a Jew completely self-negates and totally accepts the yoke of heaven upon himself, as we do through the avoda of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, then it's as if we made ourselves into a korban. A korban is total self-negation before God. So when a person totally self-negates, they have offered themselves as a sacrifice to God. In this case, a spiritual, not a physical sacrifice. So that is one way that we give God our life, not our physical life, but acknowledgement that our spiritual life totally belongs to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's our physical life, but it doesn't require us to physically give ourselves over. Another way that we say that we are a total sacrifice to the Ribbono Shel Olam is by recalling the Akedas Yitzchak. That Kedus Yitzchak happened, said Rabbi, that's on Rosh Hashanah, and it is the closest we have ever come to human sacrifice. So if we're being judged for life, the Rebbe Shalom technically should say, bring me one person's life and I'll spare the rest of you, but we don't do that. So God says, if you recall the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, you're bringing me a human sacrifice, so to speak. We read it in Kriyas HaTorah, we have the shofar, we ask Hashem to remember the Akedah, Yitzchak, and then Hashem says, I'll bless the rest of you for good. So these are two ways that we make ourselves into the Korban, through the reading, the recollection of the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofros, through the recollection a reading of the Kedus Yitzchak. But then he went to the main part of his shir, and he started to talk about slichos. So bear with me. In the Ashkenazic tradition, when do we begin slichos? It has to be at least four days before Rosh Hashanah. Let's start and begin by Rosh Chodesh Elul. Ashkenazim begin at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. Why at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah? So when I asked, I was driving one of my 14-year-olds who's in Yeshiva Darchei Torah. So I was driving him somewhere today, not to Yeshiva. Hashem Shav Rachmanis on us. So I said to my son, he's in ninth grade, he just started ninth grade, why do we start slichos at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah? So does anybody know? It's not a test. I'm just asking if anyone puts it on the chat before I tell you the answer. So my son knew the answer. Why do we have at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah that we start slichos? Okay, so I don't want to take time. Since no one's chatting, I'm just going to tell you. So the answer is, there's a halacha. You need to check a korban, an offering, for 4 days before you bring it to make sure it's blemish-free. It shouldn't have a mum. If a korban, an animal, has a mum, a blemish, you're not allowed to bring a korban that has a mum. You can't bring a korban that has a mum. It's pasul. It's not nullified, pasul. It's, help me out, what's the English? What did you say, Avigail? I don't know, type it. I can't see. So if a korban, if an animal sacrifice has a blemish, defective, but that's not pasul, disqualified. If an animal has, yes, if it's defective because it has a mum, it has a physical blemish, so you cannot bring this animal as a sacrifice. So for 4 days, you check the animal and you make sure there's no mumim, there's no blemish, and then you could bring the sacrifice. Okay, makes sense? Now remember, what did we say? How did we start Shiur on Rosh Hashanah? We should really be the sacrifice. Remember, we're judged for grain, bring barley, Pesach. You're judged for fruit, bring wheat, Shavuos. You're judged for water, bring water, Sukkos. Following that pattern, you're judged for life, so you should bring me life. I'll bless everybody else's life. But the Ribbono Shel Olam is such a Baal Rachamim, Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum V'chanun, that he does not require us to get onto the Mizbeach and Shecht somebody, so the rest of us could be blessed for Chaim. So he says, make yourself into a Korban. How do we make ourselves into a Korban? First answer, Machli Yisichron O'Shofros. We explained these already. Second answer, Akedas Yitzchak, recalling the merit of the binding of Isaac. Third answer is going to take us the duration of Shir to understand and explain. The third answer is, just like a korban must be watched and checked for 4 days prior to the offering, so too to make sure it's mum free, it is free of blemishes before offering to God, so too that's us. So we start slichos, penitential prayers. Did I say that right? Or does it sound like jail? Penitentiary, penitential. The prayers of the penitent. People in jail need to do teshuva, okay? So we start slichos 4 days at least before Rosh Hashanah because we're like a korban. We check ourselves for 4 days before Rosh Hashanah if we're taking the place of the korban because we're being judged for life to make sure we're mum free. I hope everything I said was clear. Does everybody understand so far? Good. So Rabbi Lef says, sometimes he doesn't inject humor, but the way he says something, sometimes I'm like walking and people must see me smiling and they must wonder what she's smiling about. But I guess today everybody knows everyone's always listening to something in their ears. So they figure I'm not a crazy person, I'm just listening to something in my ears. So Rabbi Lef said, let me ask you a question. The whole year just passed by. It's 4 days before Yom Adin. Do we really believe like a korban, you could check yourself for 4 days. 4 days. 4 days. And you come to Rosh Hashanah and you're blemish free. Now I have no mumim. Now I'm absolutely tahar. Now I'm absolutely tamimus. I'm the perfect korban. You're the perfect korban because you checked yourself for 4 days. You've been living for how many years? 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And you're the perfect korban because you checked yourself for 4 days. Does anyone have the audacity to say God on Rosh Hashanah, I said sichas for 4 days, I am a blemish-free korban? And said Rabbi Lef, if you want to purport to say that you could be totally free after 4 days of slichos, like the animal is totally free of blemish, then what do you need Rosh Hashanah for? And you should have a vacation. Hey, I'm perfect. 4 days after beginning slichos, I have no mumim, everything is wonderful. Thank you, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't need Rosh Hashanah. Why don't I need Rosh Hashanah? I'm free of blemishes. It's a geshmak kasha. So there's four answers. Hashem's going to give us the time to get through all four. So after I told my son, only the first son, it was only a 3-minute drive, he said, now I know why mommy listens to Rabbi Zavlat. It's geshmak already, I didn't even give you the answer. So who comes to Rosh Hashanah after 4 days? 4 days. I work a whole life to do teshuva. We're learning this year for 6 years. We're still working on Amunah. Yiras Hachet, Ahavas Hashem, Dveikus. 4 days, I'm perfect, blemish free. And if you're blemish free, you don't need Rosh Hashanah. So what's going on? So first answer is as follows. Very powerful. In an animal, a physical blemish disqualifies the animal. That was part of the story of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. Bar Kamtza made a mark on the blemish on the animal that the Caesar sent. And when he got to the temple, the rabbis debated if they could offer this or not. A blemish on the lip, a blemish on the eye. If an animal has a blemish, it's pasul. It's disqualified. You cannot bring this animal on the korban. In a person, perfection is knowing you have blemishes. You want to be tamim. The point is to come to Rosh Hashanah in a state of tmimus. You know what tmimus is in a person? You know what shleimus is in a person? Purity and wholeness. Knowing you're blemished. You spend the last 4 days of the year engaged in penitential. Am I saying the word right? Prayers. We're adding the David Hashem or Rivi Yishi. They're blowing shofar and shul. We're attending shiurim. We're trying to do shmir salashan. We're certainly trying to be more careful with our tefillah and our midos. You know what? And you want to be a perfect korban. So in an animal, a perfect korban is one who is blemish free. Kind of a cut here, there, this, that. No. In a person, tamimus and shlemus, purity and completion, is knowing you're blemished. So we take 4 days of extra introspection and engage in a process of self-awareness where we come to Rosh Hashanah realizing we're imperfect. And that's perfection. Because recognizing we're imperfect will lead to the desire to change. I can only change if I realize that I need to change. If I think I'm perfect, so God has no use for me, and I have no use for myself, I'm perfect, I finished everything. What do I need? I reached the top of Mount Everest, I can't get any higher than that. I'm finished. Tamimus, tahara, is recognizing you're imperfect. And these 4 days present us with the opportunity to recognize our imperfections, and we can move into the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. When we acknowledge what we need to change. He quoted the pasuk from Tehillim, Kapitel Nun Aleph. It happens to be a kapitel I say every day, Nun Aleph, pasuk Yates. David HaMelech says, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishbara. The Zevach of Hashem, the offering of God, the Korban of Hashem, is a broken heart. Rabbi Lev only quoted six words. He quoted the second half of the pasuk. But I'm going to start at the beginning of the Pasuk. It's from Kapitel Nunhei of Tehillim, Pasuk Yod Tes. And David HaMelech says, Zivchei Elokim, what is the korban that God desires? Ruach Nishbara. Nishbar. Hakos Nishbar. The offering that God desires from us is a broken heart. And I was thinking how interesting it is because nishvar, of course, is the same root word as shvarim. The root word of shvarim, the three broken sounds of the shofar blast. We have the tkia, the long sound, the trua, the nine fast sounds, and then the shvarim, which is three broken sounds. The root word of shvarim is shever, like zivche elokim ruach nishbara. That shvarim blast that we blow on Rosh Hashanah to fulfill the mitzvah of tkia shofar represents our broken souls. But it takes godless to recognize that you're broken. The Ribbono Shel Olam is happy, so to speak, when we recognize we're broken because that's the impetus for change. If I think I'm perfect, I'll never change. I have nothing to work on. My emunah is perfect. My Ahavas Hashem is perfect. My midos are perfect. I have no yetzer hara. So then you retaka, don't need Rosh Hashanah. Because you think you're perfect. You don't need the Asar Simei Teshuvah. You're the Yotzei Min HaKlal. So in a human being, yes, we check ourselves like we check a korban for shleimus. But what shleimus? Knowing we have mumim, knowing we're bali mum. Rabbi Laff said, the Kotzker Rabbi said, I'm sure you've heard it, I've heard it other places. There is nothing as whole as a broken heart. So these 4 days when we make ourselves into the korban, because we're being judged for life, Hashem says, he doesn't say, bring me one person, I'll judge everyone else for good. He says, make yourself into a korban. How do I make myself into a korban? By recognizing my imperfections. That makes me perfect. Because that's impetus for change. Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishbara, says David HaMelech. You know what Zevach, offering God, wants? He wants a broken heart. Shever. Shvarim. That call of the soul, the call of the shofar, that shvarim blast represents our acknowledgement that we are imperfect. If we are perfect, we are human beings. We're not human beings, we're malachim. What's the second half of the pasuk, which Rabbi Left quoted? Lev nishbar v'nidke, Elokim lo tivze. A broken nishbar v'nidke, and contrite heart, God will not reject. So what does he want from us? He wants us to come as the Zavach offering. He wants us to come as the Ola offering. He wants us to make ourselves into an offering. What kind of offering? The offering of lev nishbar v'nidke, the contrite and broken heart, said the Kotzker Rebbe. What did the Kotzker Rebbe say? I said it before. The Kotzker Rebbe said, there is nothing as whole as a broken heart. So I'm going to actually quote something that I read in Mishpacha this past Shabbos. I haven't quoted from Mishpacha for a very long time. But I think it relates very nicely to this shir. It was from Family First. It tells over an old Chinese tale. Okay. An old Chinese tale tells of an emperor who loved flowers. To choose a successor, he distributed seeds to all of the children in his kingdom. Whoever grows a beautiful plant will become the next emperor, he told them. The children lined up excitedly, including one little boy with green fingers. The boy tried everything to make his flowers grow, but no matter what he did, he could not coax those seeds to life. When the day came for everyone to present their plants to the emperor, all the children paraded through the streets. Beautiful plants in their pots, in their hands. The boy took a little flower pot, that boy with the green thumb, who tried so hard to coax a plant and he couldn't get it to work. And he comes to the parade and all the other children have beautiful plants growing in their flower pot. And that little boy has a shriveled seed, listen carefully, and some bare earth. The emperor examined all the boys and all their plants one by one. And one plant was more beautiful than the next. But the emperor rejected each. You will not be the next emperor, he said to each boy with the beautiful flower. And then he noticed the little boy with that shriveled seed and some bare earth. And the emperor said, my child, why have you brought an empty pot? The boy answered, your honor, your royal highness, whatever they called the emperor. I planted the seed. I watered it every day, but it did not sprout. I tried everything, but I could not make it grow. The emperor heard the boy's words and he declared, this boy is the next emperor. There were audible gasps. Everyone was astonished at the parade. This boy, who brought a pot of dirt and a shriveled seed, will be the next emperor when he rejected all the boys with beautiful plants. And the emperor explained as follows. None of the seeds that I gave out were capable of sprouting, but only this child, one child in the whole kingdom had the courage to come before me with his honesty and his emptiness. This little boy will be the next emperor. How beautifully it relates, how powerfully it relates to this point of Rabbi Lath. We're all given seeds, tools, and sometimes we're successful. We make them sprout, and sometimes the HRR gets in the way. We don't make them sprout. What does God want from us? Come to him as you are. Don't fake it. Come before the Ribono Shel Olam. One day a year, this Rosh Hashanah, this Aser Simei Teshuva. Say, Hashem, I'm broken. That's my wholeness to you. I'm the korban. In an animal, amum disqualifies. In a person, Hashem wants to see that we recognize our mumim, because that will be the impetus for change. That's reason number one. That's explanation number one for how we make ourselves into a korban. Explanation number two. I only told my son the first one. He got out of the car. He reached the destination. I was going somewhere else. Reason number two. The halacha of checking a korban for 4 days, each one is very powerful, for a mum, for a blemish, is only the halacha for a korban tzibur, okay? A sacrifice brought on behalf of the whole congregation. It is not the halacha for a korban yachid. What does that have to do with us approaching the Yom HaDin and checking that we are not bali mumim because we're korbanos? So Rabbi Zev Lev said, wow, this halacha is only for a korban tzibur, a communal offering when the congregation is together. That's exactly right. That's exactly the point. When a congregation is together, we're considered tzaddikim. And in 4 days, we are pure. As long as we are together. It's a korban tzibur, a congregational offering that is offered. Not an offering of the yachid is checked for 4 days. So we have to recognize that these 4 days are a time for the tzibur to come together. He brought down an acronym which I've heard before. Maybe you've heard it as well. Tzibur, tzadi, beis, vav, reish, put a chirik under the tzadi, stands for, who knows? Tzadik, tzadikim, beinonim, and urishaim. Tzadi, Beis, Vav, Reish, with a chirik under the tzadi, stands for, so tzibur, the congregation, the kihila, when we are a whole, when we come together, tzadikim, tzadi, beinonim, beis, urishaim. But when we're together, we're all tzadikim. And so therefore, yes, we can come to the Ribono Shel Olam after 4 days of checking the korban tzibur, and we could say to Hashem, what are we? Are we blemished or pure? This is different than the first pshat. We're pure in this case. The first pshat was the individual's blemished, and that's purity before God. This is totally different. What am I saying to the Ribono Shel Olam? We're perfect. How could you be perfect in 4 days? You know why we're perfect in 4 days? We got it together, pun intended. When we finally have achdus, we can get it together. When we are united, we are all tzaddikim. He quoted the pasuk. We say it by Pirkei Avos, but I looked it up to find out where it was from. It's a pasuk from Yeshayahu, okay? Perek Samech, pasuk Chof Aleph. Rabbi Lev quoted this pasuk. V'ameich kulam, you know the rest because of Pirkei Avos, kulam tzaddikim le'olam yirshu aretz. Neitzar matay masayadai lisper. I think it was made into a song many years ago. The Ameich Kulam Tzadikim. My nation, when they are together, are completely righteous. So when a person stands individually, Hashem is medaktik. He sees your imperfections. He sees your mumim, your taka, not a korban, to be offered on the Mizbeach of Rosh Hashanah. But when you bind together with everybody else, so Ribono Shel Olam sees some, one person has this mitzvah, one person has that midah, one person has this ahavas Yisrael, and we make up for what the other person lacks. And then Taka, you could come to Rosh Hashanah because our korban tzibur, is pure. What does Hashem want? What does a father want? But his children to be ba'achdus. Rabbi Lev said, how do we achieve this? Through slichos. What is slichos? It has to be said in a congregation. It's not the tefillah of the yachid. So we go to daven with a congregation, demonstrating that we are all together. And when we're all together during this time period, when we have achdus with each other, unity. So that's a time that Hashem sees we're together, and then our korban's perfect. I think that, can we realize we have so many outside enemies? And we need to stick together, even if we're a little bit different from each other. Someone today made a very negative comment to me about Darchi closing. They didn't follow the rules. Techil Hashem. It's one thing if the Umas Olam say Techil Hashem. But if we're criticizing each other during these 4 days when we're supposed to be checking ourselves for Mumim as a Korban Sibur, Hashem says, you're not together, so I don't want to be with you, Chas V'Shalom. My son is in that yeshiva. He wore a mask all day. There were less than 20 cases in an institution of over 2,600 people. Statistically, there's no statistics. I'm not saying whether it was right or wrong. That's not what I'm talking about. But we have so many enemies. The world mamish hates the Jews. I mean, I'm not saying this. Halacha b'yidush, Esav son of Yaakov. Mansur of Shai Shechter said that people don't understand what that means. His father Shlita says, halacha biyadua. It's a halacha that you have to take arba minim. It's a halacha that you have to eat shofar. It's a halacha that you have to eat shmur matzah. It's a halacha that you can't eat basar b'chav. It's a halacha, says Rav Heschel Shechter, that they hate us. So we should be criticizing our fellow Jews and calling names and labeling when we don't know the facts. Slandering. Just because we're not exactly like people. We have 4 days. The Baruch Shalom says, are you tamim or are you pasul? Are you balei mumim or are you tahor? And it's only for a korban tzibur. And then we come to Rosh Hashanah. So Hashem says, so let me see how the korban's doing. Because if it's pasul, if it's disqualified because it's a balei mum, I don't want it. But we're only tamim when we're together. Slichos affords us this time period immediately preceding Rosh Hashanah through the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, affords us the opportunity to come together. It's tragic. I could almost think of no greater tragedy than Sinas Yisrael from brother to brother. It destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. And we know that's why we're in still Galus. I'm not telling you things on my own. Kol Dor Shel Abana Biyamav, Kilu Nechru Biyamav. I think it's one of the most famous teachings of Talmud Yerushalmi. So the Tzibur is Tzadik, Beinoni, and Rishayim. Rabbi Lav said, the Rasha is represented in the Aravos. You all know the famous word of Sukkos. The Arba Minim, each one represents a different Jew. The Esrog is the Jew who has Maisim Tovim, good deeds and Torah. The Lulav and the Hadassim, some Jews only have Maisim Tovim, some Jews only have Torah. But the Aravos is the Jew who has no Maisim Tovim, no good deeds, no scent, no smell, no Torah. But when he's bound up with the other three minim, he's part of the Arba Minim, he's an integral part. So he said something beautiful that I never considered before. When he separates himself from the klal, that's when we bang him on the floor. When they come to Hoshana Rabbah, it's just the Aravos. So when it indicates when a Jew separates himself from the klal, now you'll bang him on the floor. But when he's together with everybody, he's part of the mitzvah. So these days offer us the opportunity to check our korban tzibur. Because remember, remember how we started shir. Isn't this beautiful? We start here by saying, if we're judged for water in Sukkos, bring me some water, I'll bless the rest of your water. So if we're judged for life on Rosh Hashanah, so bring me some life, I'll judge the rest of you. That doesn't go like that. Hashem doesn't want that. So he gives us an opportunity to make ourselves into a korban. So we gave a few answers already. Malchus Yerchonos Shofros, Kabbalah Omachus Shemayim, that's one type of korban. Kedas Yitzchak, that's another representation. And now we moved into understanding how this period, right before Rosh Hashanah, that is marked by the beginning of Slichos, gives us the opportunity to make ourselves into a korban. The first one was recognizing we are Bali Mum. Because like the Kotzka says, a perfect heart is a broken heart. There's nothing as whole as a broken heart. Leiv Nishbar V'nidke Elokim Lo Tivze. When you blow the Shvarim, remember, I know I'm broken. Hashem, help me change. That's perfection. Acknowledging you're broken will lead you to change. Nakuda number two, korban tzibur. I was so pained today. From person. told me it's such a chilul Hashem with such disdain. Such a chilul Hashem. They don't hate us enough that they came to close yeshiva. I understand that they're shaliach of Hashem. I know it's ratzon Hashem. I know it's a wake-up call. I know we have to engage in teshuva, etc. But still, we have to take a lesson in achdus. Start pointing fingers and blaming other Jews. So then Taka, your carbon tzibur is a balei mum. So Hashem says, do I want this? Kol darsh lo bana b'yamav, ki l'necho b'yamav. Number three. Oh, it's geschmack. Number three. The halacha, there was a comment. Yes, v'hisha. Oh, so you want to hear something beautiful, Malki, because you wrote v'hisha amda? I'll tell you a word that relates to this topic exactly before I get to number three. We say v'hisha amda lavoseinu velanu. It is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. What has stood for our forefathers and us? Shalo echa bilvar amar aleinu l'chaloseinu. Not one alone has stood against us to destroy us, but in each and every generation they stand against us to destroy us. God saves us from their hand. So the Eim HaBanim Smecha, my father-in-law shared this. Rav Teichal tells an unbelievable bar. Listen carefully. It's good he brought the Vishya Amda. It relates exactly to Rabbi Lef's second point, which we are expanding upon a little bit. Vihisha Amda la avosenu velanu. Shelo echad, when we are not one, bilvad, that alone, amad aleinu l'chalosenu. We could cry, because here we are after 2,000 years in Galus. V'hisha amda, it is this that has stood for our forefathers and us. Shalo echad, when we lack achdus, when we are not one, when we stick our rovos and we bang them on the ground, when we're not supposed to bang them on the ground, when we're supposed to have them as part of the Arba Minim, and we label this from school as Chil Hashem just because you're not part of it, and that is a chil, and this, and that name calling, we don't have enough people calling us names. Shalo echad, when we're not united, bilvad, this alone, says the Eim HaBanim Smecha, amad aleinu l'chaloseinu, stands against us to destroy us. Number three, the law that a korban is disqualified, possible because of a mum, because of a blemish, is only applicable to a permanent blemish, not a temporary blemish. So let's say the animal, I don't know the halachas of korbanos for sure. I say that every year as my introduction to the book of Vayikra. Susan Freeman has been learning with me parasha for like how many years, Susan? Can I know her? 8, 9 years. And every year at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra, what's my introduction? Don't ask me questions on the halachas of korbanos beyond what I prepared. But Rabbi Lef said that the halacha of mum that disqualifies a korban is only if it's permanent. If it is a temporary mum, meaning it's something that will heal, okay, then it can be offered as a korban. So what does this have to do with these 4 days? Because we have mumim. So Rabbi Lef said, when a person looks at his mumim, at his blemishes, at his imperfections, at his averos, of his weaknesses, he should know that they're only what? Temporary. You have 4 days to check your blemishes, but when you tackle find a blemish, you have to say to yourself, wait a minute, this is only a temporary blemish. And therefore, I am still qualified as a korban. Hashem still wants me. Korban, root word, karav. God wants me to be close to Him. Why? Because my blemish is only temporary. Rabbi Lef said, he quoted from Chazal in Pirkei Avos, Al tehi rasha b'fnei atzmecha. Don't be such a rasha. You know, there's an expression, Al tatzdik harbe. So I'm going to say, Al tarshia harbe. Don't be such a rasha that you think your blemishes are everlasting, that they're absolutely written in stone, that they can never be erased or revoked. He said, every single sin a person can do teshuva from. It might be, said Rabbi Lef, very, very difficult. 1 second, please. Excuse me. It might be, said Rabbi Lef, very difficult. Teshuva is hard work. It's hard to come back to Hashem. But if a person writes themselves off and thinks that their blemishes are permanent, then they're writing themselves off and they think God is not interested in them. And a person should never think that. Person should realize when he checks himself during these 4 days, kaviyacha, as if he's the carbon, and he finds a blemish, he should say, oh, I'm not disqualified. Why? Because this is temporary. I can change it. I have the koach to become a better person. I want to get to number 4. I have another shiur 9:30. So at 9:15, I'm not going to take the comments and the questions on the chat, etc. I will give you the full 45 minutes of shiur. And I want to get to the next nekuda. And the final point. Rabbi Leif said, we do things backwards. We start with slichos, okay? In this case, whether you're Ashkenazi and you start at least 4 days before, or Sfardi and start from Rosh Chodesh Elo, and then you move to the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. Slichos is request for forgiveness. Slach lanu, mechal lanu, kaper lanu. Forgive us, pardon us, grant us atonement. But how does that make sense? Shouldn't I have to do teshuva first and then I ask for forgiveness? You understand? First, you should fix your sins, Aseres Yemei Teshuva. Repair yourself. And then come to God and say, please forgive me. How could I say, please forgive me before I repaired myself? Why should God forgive me? I'm still a sinner. I need to go through teshuva before I go through selicha. In fact, Rabbi Lav said the proof of this isn't the proof of this is in the daily amida. What do we say first? Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha. And then what do we say? After we say, I forgot to bring down my siddur. After we daven for Hashiveinu, the Sora Secha, Vekarveinu Makayim of the Secha. Then Hashiveinu, from the root word teshuva. Then we say, Slach lanu avinu ki chatanu. Mechal lanu malkeinu ki fashanu. Teshuva comes before selicha. Repentance needs to come before asking for pardon. So it's backwards. How could I ask for pardon before I get teshuva? It's a good question. So he answered as follows. Before a person starts on any project in life, they have to know their goal. What is your goal in life? My goal in life is to be close to Hashem. My goal in life is to complete this doctorate degree, right? You state your goal when you go to medical school. I want to be this kind of doctor. Some people don't know, but some people do know from the very beginning. But you're not there yet. No, you're not there yet. You lay out your goal in front of you. It gives you something to work towards. So when we start slichos, what we are saying is, Hashem, this is my goal. My goal is I want to be close to you. Slach lanu, mechal lanu, kaper lanu, slach lanu vina kichotanu, Hashem Hashem kalwachum erech apayim, rav chesav emes. My goal is I want divine forgiveness. My goal is I want to increase my avos Hashem. My goal is I want to be better. I want to be more perfect. I want to have tikkun amidos. I want to learn more Torah. State your goal at the outset. When you state your goal at the outset, you're on the right path. He said you could tell where a person's going by the road that they're on. It's true. If you're on a road to here, you're going to here. If you're on a road to there, you're going to there. So slichos, beginning the whole process with slichos, puts me on the right road. No, I'm not there yet. I still have to go through the process of the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. He said, and maybe by Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, I've improved one thing that wasn't good before. But slichos, beginning the process with stating our goal is grant us forgiveness and pardon for our sins. We want to be better people. We want to be closer to you. Puts me on the road. So Rabbi Lev said, so if you put yourself on a road of Rashaim, you're going to go to the Rashaim. And if you put yourself on a road of Tzadikim, then you could say you are a Tzadik who needs a lot of work. In other words, let's say you're a Geshmak sinner. So you put yourself on the road of Tzadikim. Yes, you're a Tzadik who needs a lot of work. But if you're a sinner and you put yourself on the path of sinful, then that's your end goal. So before we even begin the Aseres Yemei Teshuvah, we say what our goal is. My goal is Slach Lanu. And I'm going to end by saying, he didn't say this, but it just popped into my mind. The whole process ends on Yom Kippurim. Oh, this is beautiful. The whole process ends on Yom Kippurim. And the original Yom Kippurim was when Moshe was in Shamayim with the Ribbono Shel Olam, begging forgiveness for the people. And God gave him the second luchos. And what did Hashem say on that first Yom Kippur? Salachti kidvarecha. I have forgiven you like your word. So when we begin this process 4 days before Rosh Hashanah and you make yourself into the korban for all the reasons we said, it culminates with the climax on Yom Kippurim And the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Taka, all of your avodah has been seen before me, accepted before me, precious before me. Salachti kedvarecha. When we recognize that one, a perfect person is a blemished person. There's nothing as whole as a broken heart. Leiv nishbar v'nidka elokim lo tivza. Two, the power of tzibur. The halach of checking the carbon for 4 days is a carbon tzibur. And don't we have enough enemies on the outside? Shalo achad, bilvad, amad aleinu l'chaloseinu. Three, we have to recognize that just like a carbon is allowed if the blemish is temporary, our blemishes are temporary. There's nothing we can't come back from, no matter how bad we think it is. Al tirash b'fnei atzmecha. And finally, four, start with slichos, not teshuva, because you state your goal at the outset. This is the road I'm on. Now, I will go through the process of getting there. And be'ezer Hashem, we should all be zoche to undergo this dramatic process of change and improvement. And merit salachti kivarecha, to be a kesiva, v'chasima tova for you and all of your families. With tremendous respect and admiration, with much appreciation and love, I thank you all for learning with me in person, on teleconference, in Zoom. May the neshama of Miriam Fuan, Sefer Achaim, Sefer Amav, Vespsuchim, Lefanov, merit an eternal aliyah, Miriam Bas Chaim Yitzchak, Allah Hashem, I wish you and your families a year that is only sweet and always good. Hashana Tova, Umbesuka for you and all of Christ. So thank you so, so much, everybody.